You know, I have found that it's easy to stay close to God in the dramatic times in our lives. You know, when things are really bad, when you're going through difficulty, when you're ill, when someone close to you is having difficulty or is sick, it's easy to stay close to God on those times because you're on your knees all the time. You're praying for help. You're praying for wisdom. You're praying for guidance. You're praying for strength. And sometimes you can just feel God so close you could almost touch the presence of God. And during the great good times in your life, when a job has dropped into your lap that you didn't expect, when unusual good things have happened, the birth of a grandchild, the birth of a child, a new love, on those times, you just want to be praising God all the time, and you feel close to God, and you say, thank you, God, for all of these good things that you have given to me in my life. But then you have to go back to the regular days, the normal days, the days when you're really under it and you get up early in the morning and you go to work and you come home and you cook dinner or you mow the lawn, you get to appointments or you get your kids or you get your parents or you get someone else and you look like that at the end of all of it. And at those times, it's easy to forget about God's presence. It's easy to neglect the practices that open our hearts to God's presence and that make us feel close. And then, of course, what some of us do, guilty, is blame it on God. God, where are you? You know, I just don't feel your presence. Where are you now? Well, it was that way for the Hebrew people as well. We have been working our way through the story that the Bible calls the Exodus, the formative story of the Jewish faith and a story that we have inherited. And so much of this story is dramatic. The Hebrew people were slaves in Egypt. They were treated cruelly, and they cried out to God for help, and God heard their cry. God sent Moses, and through a series of dramatic events, the Egyptians not only released them from slavery, but kicked them out of the country. And so they went toward the land that God had promised them, pursued by the Egyptian army. But again, the power of God was manifest. The sea was parted. They walked across on dry land. The sea came back together, destroyed the Egyptian army, and they celebrated with song and dance, and it was a great dramatic time. And then reality set in. Then they had to travel toward this land that God had promised them. They had to travel slowly with the older people and the children. They had to cook every meal over an open fire. They had to water and feed the livestock. They had to pick up camp every morning and set it down every evening and sleep on the ground. And so now, instead of praising God and dancing and celebrating, we have this recorded incident. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had just died at the hands of the Egyptians when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. You've just brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And the Back to Egypt committee was formed. You know, no matter what the past was, we don't like the present, so let's go back to the past, no matter how bad it was. But in spite of all of that, the Bible records that God heard their cries. God sent them food and water and took care of them in the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 16, we hear this. "In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew upon the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost. And the Bible tells us that that is what the people called manna. And it was gathered, and they said it made the sweetest, best-tasting bread. And the quails were used for meat, and so God gave them bread and meat in the wilderness. Even though they asked in a whiny way, God cared for them in the wilderness, gave them food on these ordinary days. And at this point, after freeing them from the Egyptians, giving them food and meat and leading them to places of water and caring for them, God asked only one thing. And this is recorded again in the 16th chapter of Exodus. Moses said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord." What God asked of them, the only thing that God asked of them at this point, was that they would practice Sabbath. And the Sabbath was one day out of seven that they would use especially to honor God and use as a day of rest. And it would do two things for them. It would free them from the everyday grind, and it would give them some downtime to both honor God and to remember that God was with them in the ordinary days as well as the days of miracles, to remember that God had freed them from slavery and God had promised to lead them to a new place. And so it would help them to be faithful in the ordinary times of their everyday life. The Bible often teaches through stories. And these stories are included in the Bible because they're timeless, because they have things to teach to us in this day, right here and right now. And I think this particular part of the Exodus story speaks to us in our ordinary days of life. It's timeless wisdom, and it is a practice for now. Because, in fact, later in the book of Exodus, we hear that the third of the Ten Commandments was remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And the commandments are still for us this day, for our living a good and healthy life. Because you can't work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, and remain healthy and whole. God created our bodies to need that time. And in fact, people who study these things tell us that in a matter of 7 days, you can either begin a good habit and establish it as part of your life, or you can lose a good habit. Any week that we miss a day of Sabbath and honoring God makes it easier for us to drift away. Any week that we miss practicing Sabbath makes it easier for us to get caught up in worry or anger or valuing things over people. Any week that we miss this celebration of Sabbath and honoring God and having some time of rest is a dangerous thing. And one way, of course, that we honor God is to do just what you're doing today, to be together on a regular basis every single week in worship. Sabbath, then, becomes God's gift to us and our gift back to God. Now, maybe you're saying to yourself, "I just could never do that. I am too busy. I have too many things to do. My life would fall into ruin if I did that." Well, I get that, and there's probably some truth to that, some reality to it. But it could begin small. It could begin by a commitment to be in worship every single week, whether it is here or you're traveling and it's on vacation, to give God just 1 hour, to spend 1 hour maybe just sitting in God's presence and receiving whatever small or great gift God might have to give you in that time. And then, you know, when you cultivate that practice, it's easy to expand it a little outside of worship and have some time maybe for rest or for another way of honoring God, maybe a nap. Aren't Sunday afternoon naps wonderful? I love them. Maybe time to catch up on your devotions that you missed this week. Maybe time to read a good book, but letting that Sabbath time expand. And you know, as you do that, you'll find you crave it. You become hungry for it. And maybe it can even expand into making Sunday, or if you work on Sunday, whatever other day you choose as your Sabbath, making it a day that's really special out of the week. A day to maybe visit friends or call that person that's been on your mind. Or maybe have an uninterrupted conversation with your child or your spouse or a friend of yours. What a wonderful gift the practice of Sabbath is. It is a way to honor God, but it's also a gift that God wants to give to us. After their deliverance from Egypt, the only thing at this point in the story that God asked from these people was the practice of Sabbath. And it would keep them strong, it would keep their faith strong during the ordinary days. And it is the same for us. If our faith is to remain strong and our life is to remain good, we too need to cultivate and consciously set aside this time for Sabbath. And here's a radical thought. What if every once in a great while you went on a spiritual retreat? The women here at Salem do this every once in a while, almost every year. They'll go away, and the stories that come back, they just spend a Saturday and Sunday, a weekend. The stories of blessing that come back from those times of being away, setting aside time for God and one another, are amazing. And it's my dream that a couple of men in this congregation will take it on themselves to plan a men's retreat sometime in the next year or two. Because men have challenges and blessings that are unique to being a man. And they too, men too, need time to be away, to bond as men, and to practice spiritual practices that are unique, especially to men. If you want to try a retreat on your own, maybe you can't go with the group. In your worship folder this morning, on the very first page of the pink announcements, think of this as red, white, and blue for the 4th of July, if you want to. On that page, there is a section right in the middle that says, Resources, Spiritual Renewal Resources for Your Consideration. And there are some websites that you can go to, and you can make a retreat for your own self. What might that mean? If you did that, if you dedicated a whole day or a whole weekend to God, what difference might it make in your life? In the ordinary days of their lives, God asked the Hebrew people to practice Sabbath. In the ordinary and the extraordinary days of our lives, it is a commandment that we remember the Sabbath and keep it holy to God. So what about it? And what about you? Amen.